I finally get it. Now, here I am in my bed, right? I wake up and it's so much anxiety around my life situations, particularly my income. And at this point, I was thinking, like, how do I know that I'm going to make money today? How do I know income is coming in this month? And for some reason, this day was the day I thought so clearly. I was thinking that, wow, like, I really understand how everything comes together for me right now. It's like a big paradigm shift at this moment. And so to give you the preface of what's going on right now in my life is that I am with a I have a wife, I have three kids and one baby on the way, and I'm due to go on a long trip, and it's gonna, and we are suffering for revenue. At this point, I've been 1 year not working, but doing freelance stuff with so many ideas about how I can turn a profit and working those ideas the best that I can, but I'm having a problem. And that problem mainly is the fact that I'm not bringing enough revenue. And I think that at this point, I felt this anxiety about my revenue because I need something to guarantee me I'm going to make money every single day. And I made goals, like a goal to earn $1,000 a day. But the reality is that I wasn't able to do that. At the highest, I was able to earn about $300 to $500 in that day. But the next day, I couldn't repeat that, because that income was produced based on a prior relationship or engagement. I didn't have to sell anything. Something that was already sold. It was just kind of delivering on something that has already been agreed upon. So at that point, I'm like, okay, you know, I understand that selling is what needs to happen every day. However, what is I'm going to sell, and is it valuable enough? Who am I going to sell it to? And for what price? All that part of math, that simple basic stuff to business math, was just not in place. Okay. So the thinking that all of that is going to put itself together within a couple hours time in a day, and then being sold by the next day in front of people by the next day without at least $1,000 per day budget. Now, I say at least $1,000 budget because that's realistically how much you that I see as a my own rule, which is another thing, creating your own rules based on your experience and your personality and what it is you're trying to achieve, like your own rules. That's one thing, right? But based on my rule, unless you have $1,000 a day, that idea is just not worth your time, energy, effort. That's my rule, okay? So having now understand that through my failures, my many failures, understanding that failure is just a part of it. Failure is like the guaranteed thing that's going to happen. It's not like you're going to be successful. You can't bank on that. You can't say that, hey, you're going to do this new idea that hasn't produced any money and it's going to be successful and you can guarantee that. You can't guarantee that. The only thing you can guarantee is what you have already done or what's already been done, and what's the average of all the ups and downs. What is the average thing that happens? And then lowball that average just a little bit for you to say, listen, the guaranteed is this is the guaranteed outcome based on this historical events or these historical events, the average of those historical events, not the highs or the lows, the average between the two, this is what we can say we guarantee that. Now, that is something that I kind of put together in my mind, like all of a sudden I assimilated all this. So the thing is, from that day came a plan to say, you know what? What is, he says, to me, it's like, you know what? I finally get it. I have nothing. I have, like, it's like I woke up with zero idea. No ideas. I've done everything I know to do. And the reality is, I just need more time. And I'm out of time. Like, I need to produce a significant amount of money, not only to pay back debts, but to survive off of, now that I have a family of you know, four kids now, and a wife, and myself. And also I have a commitment to a community. I have, like, commitments to, you know, my family outside of just my four or five. And I need to make a significant amount of money. And significant meaning, like, I need to make at least $100,000 a year minimum. or I could say, okay, well, on the survival, the basic, barely into surviving, we can live off $60K a year. But honestly, we need to be in that $100K bracket per year. Now, prior to all of this, I listened to Alex, I might be saying his name wrong, but Alex Hormozi, Hormzi, I think it's how we spell it. And at that point, what it's spelled, Hormozi, Hormozi. So at that point, I read his book of 100 million offers. And when I read that book, I took, like, the Thanksgiving week to read through that book, and every page, everything in that book for me was like the missing pieces. It was like, I got it. I finally got it. I understand what was being divulged in that book, because I've struggled with all the things that book talks about the solutions for. I've struggled with all of that stuff. I've struggled to understand what makes an offer. How can we guarantee without a doubt that this offer is of extreme value to the person I'm offering it to, and I can justify high income or high prices. I know for sure I want to sell something at a high price. I want to operate on a high price margin or high price ticketing kind of either consulting or some sort service or product, but I couldn't guarantee that it's actually worth that amount. So how do we create something that amount? So I've always struggled with the whom to talk to, because at this point, I haven't really nested down into a type of person or a group of people that I serve, that I'm best fitted to serve. I've always struggled with that. The main thing I've struggled with is I always see all these potential for different types of marketplaces that I myself am not the person fit for it, right? But I see how a product or service can fit into this marketplace potentially. So that was a problem, is that I had too many ideas. I had too many different people. I saw too many different people that a product or service could fit if I were to break it down. So that is one thing, but I didn't quite understand that about myself. And honestly, I realized the type of entrepreneur I was. And I knew the kind of investor I was. And I knew that technology was the best fitted place for me. And at this point, I know that I have a lot of ideas, and that entrepreneurs or people who have creative problem-solving capabilities typically do. But since I've gotten some exposure to businesses and to businesses online, then that allowed me to have a ton of different ideas. But what I got confused about is that since I had those ideas, that those were actually just hope. That each idea itself was me hoping that it would produce money, but I had no real evidence that it would. Not really evidence, but evidence based on actual money being given to me for that idea. Right? So that brings in a couple of things. One is self-knowledge. You know, you have to know yourself. You have to know what you know, what's you have to know about yourself, because there's no school that teaches you about yourself. There's no book that you're going to pick up about yourself. Anything that you read of anybody else's rules, philosophy of life, is their rules and philosophy of life, but it's theirs. But as a man, you need to have yours. You need to have what is your rules, your philosophy about life. But typically, that rules and philosophy has to, and I say this not only passionately, but I say this with a lot of conviction, is that it has to align with the reality. And there's that's the big strokes, right? That's your philosophy has to align with the reality of things, how the reality of the world works, how the reality of either the reality that somebody puts you in, like to say this governmental system and the economical system, whether you think that it's the best thing since sliced bread or you disagree with it, it doesn't matter as much as, okay, the reality is of this system is what you are subjected to. So now you have to think in terms of those realities. You have to survive based on that reality. But it could be completely, it could be largely, vastly different from if you just lived out in the wilderness. That's a different reality altogether. If you lived in the wilderness, there is a different reality that dictates how you should go about life, or else you won't survive. Okay? So there's those realities, right? But knowing those realities, knowing the ones that affect you, and knowing where you are in those two realities, like where are you at? Are you in this system here, or are you out in the wilderness? Whenever you are in any of those two areas, you have to understand that your psychology and your rules have to be molded by those realities. Okay? And you have to know the difference between the two. One is coming from the nature, and another one's coming from man's laws and a system of organized people putting it together, and like they organize it together, or else you face consequences that threaten your survival on this planet or in their domain. Okay? So that's one thing. So your self-knowledge and your rules have to align with the reality. So that's one. And then you have to know yourself on a smaller, granular level, and to know that, okay, so here's how I fit in each one of those two areas, and knowing the way I think and process information, the way I, what I not like, but you know, the things that you tend to gravitate to, the things that you know are more easy for you to achieve where another area is not so easy. Like you might want to be, like for example, I wanted to do acting for some weird reason, but I'm not a good actor, right? It's just, I'm just more of an easier to be on the technical side. Like when I went to go into technology, I achieved a lot very quickly, actually, like extremely quickly. It's ridiculous. Like I never took in any basic computer classes, but I started passing advanced, what they considered advanced classes or advanced test. I took an advanced networking class and I passed it, but I've never gotten any kind of computer science training prior to that. I did self-taught. Like I took an A++ certificate exam, I paid for it, and they walked me through all the computers. And from that, based on what I was learning in a networking, Cisco networking, advanced networking class, assumed I knew what a server was, what a computer was. I knew the basics of computer science, and it was talking about things from an advanced protocol standard, opening up terminals. I didn't know what any of that stuff was, but I was just taking a class and immersing myself in it. Eventually, I learned enough about it and passed the test, with like flying colors. And, you know, I realized, holy crap, I'm really good at tech. Okay, so I need to stay in this world. See what I'm saying? So you have to know yourself. And then I know that technology connects to kind of the nature of things because of science and the processes it takes. So say, for instance, the process it takes to start a fire, that could be considered a natural technology. And people don't really put that together a lot because we don't really live a lot when we have to depend on making fires using natural elements. But all the steps that lead to creating that fire, all the elements and everything that creates it, if things don't operate in a certain order, you won't have a fire. And so I think that some of those basic understanding about nature is what fuels the artificial intelligence of technology and all of this stuff, right? So that is my connection. That is my philosophy and rules. They all connect to that understanding about nature and then the subjective nature, the trust that we have, and myself. Now I know myself. I know what area I best fit in. I know how it connects to the bigger picture of both realities. And now I'm like, cool. Now I know that. But then the other thing is, I know that I have a lot of business ideas. And at this point, I didn't know that all those business ideas required a certain investment. And I didn't know the number of investment. And so now I know the number. Each business idea, from my experience, takes about three to 6 months of testing. And that testing has to be to know what's successful and not successful. You need to measure sales. People actually buy the idea before you actually have a working in model. You can have a prototype that they buy and they experiment with. And this could be software, it could be an actual product, it could be a prototyped basic service, or even an idea of something, and they buy the idea before it comes to reality. Like, that is where most of my ideas were, in a premature state of all the things that I was doing. They were a premature state. So in order for any of those ideas to take off, I need to go through that testing. And that testing part is very well organized into a concept or into a business model theory. And that business model theory isn't the actual business idea. It's the theoretical representation of how the idea could work. Not how it does work, just how it could work. And what are the missing components? It allows you to to create a theory of the actual business before it starts to materialize itself. It allows you to actually innovate above the business and create new products and services and navigate the complexities of the world and the complexities of the subjective realities that it has to be, that's imposed on it, like new laws, new regulations, and new trends, and then all these type of things, right? So a business is much, 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 much more difficult for you to get into starting from scratch. And that's where I was starting from scratch. So there's a lot of different skill sets you need to know. There's a lot of money you got to pour into it, even though you don't have to spend $100,000 per business idea up front. At some point, you need to have that kind of revenue to pour into a business when it comes to the marketing, the things that you need, the operations and all that. So with the internet, it's a bit tricky because people think that, oh, you just need to put up a website and start making money, selling T-shirts and selling mugs and going to Amazon, FBA and all these other stuff. All that stuff are just, they're not necessarily businesses. They're just money-making things to do on the side. There's just a quick transaction and then it's over. There's no client base. There's no brand. So when you don't have a brand, when you don't have a way to guarantee revenue every single month, there's no recurring revenue purchases. All of things if everything is based on new transactions, that's not really a sustainable business. It's just like a side hustle. That's not really a business kind of hustle. You're just making money on the side. You're just making transactional. You're just making commissions, but there's no actual repeat buy being done. You know, there's no way to really gear this thing up to say, how do you know people are just going to stop buying? How do you know sales won't decline? You know, there's nothing that you can use really, except just the trends of how people spend their money. You can go based on those trends. But all that is just saying that business is much, much more complicated, and is very, very, very difficult to do anything in a business arena unless you have an actual product that you know is high value, and you know whom exactly that value is fit for, and that you can reach them. Either it's within your budget to reach them financially, and that they actually buy it. And that buying of that equals an amount of revenue that allows you to sustain yourself with, like survive with, and also allow the business, without becoming a threat to the business itself, it from itself thriving. You see what I'm saying? So those numbers. So in order for an idea to become anything, you have to give it that honest 3 to 6 months. If you don't produce anything within the 3 to 6 months, you've given it an honest effort. That's good enough. Like, that 3 to 6 months is up to your rules. but you need to have some, you need to have some kind of rule there. That's just, that's a reality that you need to understand, that there needs to be some amount of limit for where you can put your energy effort into it. Honestly, the right amount. And then before you detach yourself from it and then move on to something else. Right. But for me, I didn't have all that stuff. Like, I had so many ideas. And I had so many different things I wanted to get spinning. And I didn't have that kind of framework when I was going into it. So that's one framework. The other thing was the actual model itself. How would you organize the idea? How do you organize the idea into a way that, okay, this is a business idea. And then how much money do you need to put into the actual testing itself? So I set a rule, like I said earlier, I set a rule of about $1,000 every single month. You know, that's realistically how much it's going to take. So if I multiplied 1,000 times 6, I'd have to have at least $6,000 to test it and to make adjustments along the way, obviously, to make some slight adjustments. And maybe I'm targeting the wrong person. Maybe this is just not good product to market fit. You know, maybe the price is not right. Like, I can tweak it enough as if I can and maybe get some persons involved to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. Somebody who has experience, not knowledge, but experience on doing what I need to do or selling this particular product to this particular market. They have that experience with selling products to that marketplace. They can chime in on whatever they would do. I would pay them to do what they would do and then let that sucker run. And if I'm producing enough money where I can just basically pay for ads and produce revenue and produce lifelong customers, another key word to say, lifelong customer, like I increase my lifetime customer amount, and it makes business sense, then I keep putting my energy into it. Otherwise, because first of all, it's producing money to pay for the marketing itself and producing extra money to create a profit, right? And I'm not going to, if I take from that profit right away, that handicaps the business because it doesn't give it enough wind and breath to actually grow into something, right? I'm taking it away because, one, I'm too dependent on it too early for my survival. And so therefore, I need to take away from it, right? So if I had something else going on that was taking care of my survival needs in excess, meaning like I could take money from that and put it into this business and feed the business, then that is the most best likelihood that actual business itself will survive. If I'm dependent on new revenue before the idea has a chance to prove itself, that's where we position ourselves for failure, guaranteed, with no room for success. Zero room. Financially, there's no room for success. So not only did I have that framework, so you have a 3 to 6 month framework, and then we assume that we're going to spend our money somewhere between $1,000 a month. Some of that would be ads. Some of it would be paying for professionals to chip in. I might be have to buy some educational material. I won't be hiring anybody because nobody who's attracted to that kind of – no, nobody's attracted to it. I might have a freelancer do something here and there, a one-off deal. But you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm putting money into it. And then I'm getting people involved right away. I've clarified it, admitted it. I took the pressure away from it actually having to be for everyone. It just has to be to a specific group of people. It has to be very hot. It has to be valuable enough for them to pay a higher income, somewhere between the hundreds, hopefully to the hundreds of thousands, or hopefully to the tens of thousands or thousands in that arena. And if I can't sell it at that, then I'm not really that interested in it. You see what I'm saying? So that's one thing, right? So 3 to 6 months, it has to be. I have to pour somewhere between $1,000 a month from my own rule, but it needs to be some amount of money. You can make your own rule, somewhere between $500 to $1,000, you know, or $200 to $1,000. But honestly, in order to get a good terms of things, you gotta be somewhere between $1,000. Even if you got a business credit card, you got a credit card, and you put that money on that credit card, having the cash to be able to pay that back right away without messing up your survival, without having awkward conversations with your wife, or you know, having to feel guilty that you're getting yourself further in debt and none of your ideas and other things are actually happening for you without having to do all that. Having that cash is such more, so much more powerful of a play than to not have the cash but put it on credit but then have no way to really pay things out and make things better. You see what I'm saying? So even if you leverage cash, like I'm saying, if you leverage credit to test out the idea, I still think that it would be my own rule is that to have the cash is a better play. And you may not use it all up, but you might utilize cash to give you a better credit advantage or credit limit advantage, however you see the advantages on that. But that is one thing, right? The other thing too is the revenue. So the revenue amount that justifies you doing that instead of anything else that you do in life when it comes to your business idea is that it has to be significantly. Like, if you can't take $100,000 cash, put it in your bank, and it take away and it not cripple your the business opportunity or whatever you're doing on the side, if you don't have $100,000 in the bank, and some people might be, the number might be different. For me, I'd have to have $200,000 in the bank. You see what I'm saying? Like, for me, it's different. But I'd have to have that amount of money already in the bank as something I'm earning interest on a guaranteed amount of interest that our family can utilize and in a way that allows us to, you know, survive in case of any kind of economical crisis where we can't work and all we had to do is live off our life. Like if we can't take that away from the revenue we're generating, it's not good enough. And not only that, for me, it makes a whole lot more sense if I just got a job doing software development for like $120,000 per year, which is very likely that I could do that. Like it's within my reach, my domain. Like I have the experience, the education, I have everything I need to walk that path, and that'll be what gives me sustain my family for what they need right now. Plus, give me two grand. I can just take away from that $2,000 a month into my business ideas, okay, or into whatever, right? So let's say we got that scenario worked out. That's finished. Take the $2,000, take that aside, and then now from that $2,000, I can do something with. And now it doesn't affect our survival because let's just say off $120,000 a year as a mid software engineer, developer role, you're making, so let's just say $110,000. It's like $110,000 a year. Let me get my calculator here for a second. $110,000 a year divided by 12. That's about $91,66. So it's like $9,200. If I subtract $2,000 from that, that'll still leave us $7,000 a month. Assuming taxes is in there, let's just pull $500 or so. Let's just pull $1,000 for taxes per month, which probably will not be that much, but let's see. 9,122 times point, I think it's 15%. Yeah, it's 1,300. That's a lot. So 9,122 subtract 1,300 equals 7,822. That's what I get. Subtract 2,000 from that. We're all 5,000. So 5,088. Subtract mortgage. So now our price range is somewhere between, if we're living in Texas, 1,500. And let's say mortgage taxes, like say 500. We're still $4,800. And say a car, we got a pretty decent income car. We refinanced and now it's like $280 a month, right? So now we're still at $4,000 left to breathe. Groceries, all we have is like groceries and debt. So we can literally have a good $1,500 to put down on debt, just decrease in debt if we wanted to. And we still have a lot of breathing room. And I took out $2,000 just to invest. So we have a house, and the house is a decent house in Texas. It's a nice, it has 3-4 bedrooms in that house, right? So we have all the needs taken care of. The home, the food, the shelter, like all that stuff's taken care of. Now I can pour $2,000 into potential business ideas. Now, that's one thing, right? Or I can just take $2,000 and I can segment that and say, hey, let's take $1,000, pour it into real estate every month. We can start investing in real estate. These are just simple things where I don't need to know a lot. I just go to something like rooftop.com. They already have a portfolio. I invest $1,000 into the real estate portfolio. I get the income back. Every single month, I might get a return on my income. I just keep doing that. Just keep doing that and doing that and doing that. So over a period of 12 months, if I took out $2,000, that's probably about what I used to make. That's $2,400, right? $24,000. Every single month, I have that at the end of the year. Or I can just save that for every year and just say, okay, I have $24,000. Let's just invest into real estate. Real estate is the most guaranteed way for you to make any kind of money anywhere. Because if anything, you can just buy something and you can resell it. You know, there's just a lot more flexibility to use in real estate. But it depends on the person. So it depends on you. It depends on what's accessible to you financially. It also depends on your network of people that you know that helps to decrease the risk. Because there's an adequate amount of risk in anything. Stocks, real estate, and business. So out of all of those three, the most riskiest, the way that you can get into any kind of trouble is in business. So there's nothing that you can put into, like, you can't just take $2,000 and put into a business and then produce money from it. The likelihood that it won't is very high. So you have to be just buying a business that already exists and making money off of that. So that could be another play, right? You can just buy a business that you have in an area that you know anything about. And, you know, say, for instance, I know software. I bought another business that sells software. And the software is on a language that I already know, then I can just buy the business and see what's going on in the software and then take my knowledge, existing business knowledge, and then improve upon the business and increase revenue. And that's already existing. See what I'm saying? So starting from scratch is what I'm saying is the most riskiest. The most riskiest, the most difficult, and it's the surest path to failure with no upside about it at all. There's no guaranteed upside at all. So that is a synopsis of what exactly I've been learning and what I think I finally got, plus so much other stuff about it, right? But I think I've been able to realize that. And since I know what my business ideas are, that they're unreliable, even though that they sound good, that they sound great, it looks great, but does it make money today? Can it make money today? No. Well, then it's nothing. It's nothing to stand on, okay? And it's okay. It just needs time. It needs money. It needs time and needs money and needs other people to come in, play their part in order for it to realize its potential and for us to be sure about it. So that's what I wanted to document. And I know it's a bit of a rant, but I think it might be important. And it's just really for my own documentation, for me to document kind of what I'm learning and to put it somewhere and to have it somewhere where I can access it. And if you find usefulness out of it, then congratulations.